All right, you're live in the arms of Glenn.
Andrew.
And John's a little, excuse me, MIA today, but that's all right. We miss him when he's not around. We love you, John.
Do we?
But do we? We do. We do. All right, patrons, thank you so much for your patronage. We appreciate everything you do to support the show. New shirts are being designed this week and hopefully going to be up and running very, very shortly. They're going to have the new Sabretooth with Nobody Cares, Work Harder on the back, and then the normal Arms Room logo up front. So we're pretty excited about that. And our extra show, our extra monthly show for March, is going to be done today as well. So if you're a $10 above patron and you're looking for the extra show, it's coming this week, today. Also, giveaways are back. We've got some stuff to start with. Going to be starting our first giveaway next week. Giveaways are going to be $5 and above patrons for this month. So $5 and above patrons open for the giveaway this month, which is going to be some Remora holsters. Yeah.
Super exciting.
Oh, yeah. So we got more stuff. You guys wanted to bring back the freaking giveaways. We're bringing back the giveaways. We'll see what happens.
For the people.
But we got to get participation. Better than last time. We gave away some amazing shit last time. And we got some good participation on some stuff.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Some crazy shit in the news. Bed Bath & Beyond in Scottsdale Fashion Square. Two different things have happened. I think this is important to mention. So the first thing that has happened, I'll pull up my my Google here. Scottsdale Bath & Body Works. This is Bath & Body Works. Maybe this wasn't Bed Bath & Beyond.
But no, it's Bath & Body Works in the Scottsdale Fashion Center.
Okay. So this one was a lady was fired after yelling at someone who was wearing a Trump mask, a Trump 2020 mask. So this was several months ago.
Oh.
And then, oh, man, I lost the damn thing. Damn it, I lost the thing. But this weekend.
Yeah, it was
Bed Bath & Beyond.
No, Bath & Body Works.
Was it Bath & Body Works?
Yeah.
So there's whatever Scottsdale Fashion Square is going on. I don't know. But there was something, some kind of
altercation. But the employees jumped on the woman. From the news article that I read, she was standing too close when she was in line getting ready to pay.
Yeah.
And then from what the video shows, is way out of context because you don't see leading up to the tackle, but two associates tackle this lady to the ground, and then they like start shoving
like
her and
trying to
force her out. Yeah, and it's between the two employees and this gal, and she's wearing a mask.
And then somebody else jumps in and is trying to help out. Another bystander, it looked like, was trying to jump in and pull him apart or something. So here's the problem with these things: is I've already seen this video getting posted on several different news outlets and different people associate with friends and people I follow and stuff on social media. Already posting this video talking about the crazy leftists and all that.
Your skincare routine?
I need context.
Yeah.
Right. I gotta see. I don't want, just like we don't want our videos of self-defense or anything like that taken 10 or 20 seconds at a time. I want to see the full context of the video.
Yeah.
Is it okay for employees of a store to ever put their hands on somebody?
Oh, wait. I just found the video.
No. Probably the answer is no.
So right? this employee just grabs her. Holy shit. This is actually...
Is that a better fully video?
Yeah.
Because I only ever saw the clips that people could post on Instagram.
Let me see. How do I rewind it?
No. This is the one I saw.
This isn't the one I saw.
So I saw this one, right? Boom, and then you see a blow.
I saw the video where it starts taking off as they're going to the ground.
So here's the problem, right? You see the blow, then you see these two associates, now maybe three associates, and they're knocking this lady to the ground.
There's one gal.
Some gal's in there trying to maybe pull them apart.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what's happening there, but here's the problem. That thing starts with blows being thrown.
Yeah.
And you have no idea what was said immediately before.
Dang, that girl needs to put clothes on, though. She's a little chunks wearing less clothes than she should be. A little too chunky.
Need more clothes. You don't meet the weight requirement. So the problem is, is, yes, like everyone else, I would love to jump on the bandwagon and talk about how fucking insane these people the are and all that,
The gal that got attacked is not wearing a mask.
So, okay, so that's the other thing that I saw.
But now this employee isn't wearing a mask either.
Well, probably after the struggle.
She's holding it in her hand, though.
Well, probably got a fucking, probably after the fight it got ripped off. You know what I mean?
I mean, if they're so maskers, shouldn't she be throwing that shit back on?
Well, no, because it's not about, it's all about virtue signaling. And again, I don't want to jump on the bandwagon and attack these employees yet because I haven't seen the whole video. And we have to be so careful about making big judgments.
I will say this, though. Remember that time I went into Bath and Body Works with the kids?
Yes.
And a person came up in the middle of COVID and complained that I wasn't wearing a mask.
Yes.
And remember the lady? And this was in Ahwatukee. And the lady's like, oh, yeah, we don't require people to wear masks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that lady was like furious. But Bath and Body Works was like really cool about it. They're like, yeah, we don't care if you don't have a mask on. And that was my, you know, interaction with them. They don't care that I don't wear a mask ever. They've never asked me to put a mask on.
Look, wear a mask or don't wear a mask. That's not even necessarily even the part of the point of the conversation.
No, I know. You were talking about the initial cues on picking up that this was going to go down.
So that's really what is important.
Yeah.
Is like, here's the important part that I want to draw away from all this. Because I haven't seen the full context. I don't know what was said. I don't know. For all I know, the non-wearing mask called the other chick a big fat cow and that she should be sterilized. Who knows? Who knows what she said? I have no idea. And we can't know.
I'm going to pause it.
So here's my takeaway from this.
Oh, look, here. So okay. They were way too close to each other.
Here is my takeaway. You don't know what level of violence people are ready for. You don't know where someone is at, physically, mentally, or emotionally. You don't know what they're ready to do.
Yeah.
And you don't know how far they're willing to take it and how fast they're willing to get there. And all the self-defense, this is something we were talking about. We were teaching defensive handgun class yesterday.
Oh, we got a lot of comments on it.
This is part of what we were talking about, right? Like, when we showed that video about the whole snow incident, right? And people were losing their minds about those people fighting in the snow. It was just was insane, and people ended up getting murdered, and the other guy killed himself and all that crazy shit. The problem is you don't know how fast the other person's willing to get violent and how far they're willing to go. So this really is a talk shit, get hit kind of freaking situation. You don't know how far they're willing to go and how fast they're willing to go there. So you have to be incredibly, incredibly careful about what you say to people. The mask, forget the mask thing.
So just, John's watching on Instagram. Is he? You can join on Instagram. John, you can join on Instagram if you want to be part of this team.
Oh, I guess who knows. Anyways, don't try to do that. It's not going to work because he'll be up there. But the problem is that this doesn't have anything to do with the masks. This has to do with people, whether you want to say they're virtue signaling or you want to call them crazy leftists or I don't care. There was a woman in that video that was more willing to get violent than another woman. And what the one woman said or did to make someone want to violently attack her, she was not ready. Here's the reality of things, right? If I walk around without a mask, almost everywhere I go, neither Drew nor I nor our kids wear masks. We only wear masks if we absolutely positively have to, like a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
Or something ridiculous like that. Other than that, we just don't. And we just don't have a lot of conflicts with it. Every now and then, you know, like we like to go to the aquarium and they require masks.
Oh my God.
They literally have mask police. So we wear them at the bare fucking minimum. I almost insultingly wear it because it's so fucking stupid, right?
Yeah.
But that's going to be their private property policy. And so I try not to bring my own ethics into it. I try not to bring my own politics into it and say this is private property and this is their policy. And if I want to participate in business with this private property, then I'm going to have to follow whatever their stupid fucking rules are, whether or not I agree with them.
Yeah.
If I want to do business here, I got to follow the rules. Just like I would require if someone comes to one of our firearms classes, we require that they follow the rules. We're on private property. This is a private business. You have to follow the rules. If you don't, we're going to ask you to leave. It's as simple as that. You don't have to agree with the rules, but if you want to play here, you got to play by the rules, right? So I'm fine with that. I also understand that when I go into public not wearing a mask, not following the quote-unquote rules that society has set in place, and different states are different, I know that.
Yeah.
Then I also understand that people like this person are out there. And we've seen video after video after video and heard story after story of people getting heated, getting angry, and getting violent over you not following what they believe is right. Now, we can do a whole show on the problem with what's happening in society right now, but we don't have time for that because we got a guest calling in a couple minutes. The point is, you'd better be ready for more violence, people, because the other side is already there.
Yeah.
The people you're going to be fighting are already violent. They're already ready for violence, and they already know how far they're willing to go and how fast they're willing to go there. And most people I know, most people that even we train with, are not ready for the level of violence they think they're ready for. They talk about big game. They puff out their chest and have bravado. They won't go to the gym and fucking box somebody. You won't play it as a sport. What makes you think you can do it for a living?
Yeah.
And by living, I mean the price is life, potentially. Pressure test your skills, man. All right. Redwire gear moment.
I have a funny, hold on real quick.
Go.
So I was reading the comments for this fight.
Yeah.
And someone said, the woman with the black shorts and tube top committed the crime of letting us see her dress like that in public.
That's a true story.
Which, oh my God, that's the lady I was like, oof.
Yeah,
you
oof.
You should.
You don't meet the weight requirement. You better put some clothes on, lady. All right. Redwire gear moment. Access. Don't limit access to equipment or tools with more equipment and tools. Right, we see it on plate carriers, we see it on belts, we see it with all kinds of equipment and gear. So make sure you're not limiting access to your gear with other gear and equipment in the way. Important to get out, like we were just talking about, and pressure test your equipment. Take it to the range, take it on a hunt, take it out on a hike. Really use your stuff and make sure you're not limiting access to one thing, especially really, really important stuff, with other stuff, right? All right, we're going to get into our show here. Our guest is calling in. Nope, stand by. I'm calling back. So our guests today are Brian and Wes from Sonoran Desert Institute talking with us about their learning center and self-taught gunsmithing. So I'm going to call these guys right back, and we're going to get right into this. Stand by.
What?
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good,
man. Good to talk to you. Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Last time I saw you was what, SHOT Show?
Back when we were doing SHOT Show, yeah.
Yeah.
That's been over a year ago.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nuts, right? So we're gonna get right into the concepts that we were kind of talking about with Sonoran Desert Institute. So Drew and I did the Glock introductory course on the Learning Center. And that is a great concept for not just like basic level gun owners, but anybody who doesn't know how to disassemble their pistol.
Yeah. Yeah, our goal was to kind of take it beyond just the basic understanding and really add an in-depth breakdown of the firearm, and then like with the video stuff. For the disassembly and reassembly, if you look at any of the videos out there to kind of help you with breakdowns, it's all like 30-minute videos, and who wants to zip?
Nope. Dang it.
What did you do?
The course is accessible. You know, once they purchase it, they can go back at any time to use it as well. So
that was kind of the... Where you guys are changing this, and I think Wes is trying to call, and I'm trying to figure out how to add him to the call here real quick. Let me write down his number real fast, and I'll get him added. But when you guys are moving from Sonoran Desert Institute, which does, you know, full gunsmithing and full accredited programs, which is really more of like, hey, I want a gunsmithing degree or I want a certificate. I want to move into that profession. Not everybody wants that. And that's kind of your idea behind the Learning Center, right? You there, Brian?
What are you doing with your phone?
I'm not doing anything. Hey, Brian, you there? Oh, maybe we lost Brian.
I can hear somebody on the phone.
Oh, Collins are the best. You there, Brian?
I am.
Did you hear anything I just said?
No, I thought you were grabbing West. Sorry.
I was trying to. All right. I don't know if this three-way call with Wes is going to work or not, but I was going to hit add call, and then it started messing me up here. So I'm trying to type in his number, but it's just not working out. But anyways, but what I was saying, I'll repeat what I said, is the Sonoran Desert Institute's whole concept is like accredited, you know, certified programs to get into gunsmithing professionally, right?
Yeah, so we started out, we have an associate degree program and also a certificate program that are both accredited through the DEAC, and it's all done online. Those courses, of course, they have instructors, and they walk the student through, you know, the basics of understanding of firearms. They get into the ammunition and all the different concepts. There's build and projects that we send out materials to the students as well for them to work on. With the Learning Center, we've kind of taken courses and different firearms, and we've broken them down to these are unaccredited courses that individuals can do, and they're priced right now at about $70 a piece. Future ones may be a little more expensive or a little less depending on the content, but we wanted this to be accessible for anybody.
Now, the Learning Center differs from SDI's normal courses. One of the things that that we had talked about via email was SDI accepts VA benefits, correct?
Yes, SDI is a Title IV school, so it actually even takes tuition assistance for active duty members as well. But, the veterans can use their benefits to go through the program.
But the Learning Center does not, because it's not that accredited program, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Now, they're super cost-effective. Like, I'll kind of talk about my experience with it, because what's interesting is I've really been trying actually to get something like this going even through our company over Independence Training, like some type of basic level armorer's course, you know, for ARs, for Glocks, for your standard firearm, so that people can come and they can learn about how to take the gun apart completely. You know, if I want to do a replacement trigger, you know, how do I do that without just a full-on, you know, YouTube video, which sometimes takes a long time to, you know, find the right one. And where can I go to learn all about the firearm? I mean, one of the things that we always teach people, especially new gun owners, is how important it is to learn not just the gun and how to shoot it, but really learn about the gun. Like, if you're going to have a Glock, for example, learn about the Glocks. What are all the different, you know, generations of Glocks? What are the different features of Glocks? What makes one generation different from another gen? You know, if someone goes, oh, do you want a Gen 3, Gen 4, Gen 5? Like, what does that mean? Most people are just buying right now whatever they can get their hands on. But even typically, they're not really buying something that's very specific. They're just kind of, whatever. You know, whatever my buddy has kind of stuff. And then they don't fully understand how to take the gun completely apart. They don't fully understand how to replace everything in there and how each part is interacting with the other part. And I'll admit, even as much as I've taken Glocks apart and fixed them and put them back together and all that kind of stuff, there were some really interesting learning points that I didn't know. You know, so it's like even for someone who's experienced and has a lot of knowledge doing it, there was stuff I learned because I'm not an armorer, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of what we wanted to do is, you know, provide that information. And then, you know, one of the key components as well is we go through the mechanical operations of the firearm. And like you mentioned before, we do have a breakdown and an introduction of the overview of how the firearm was developed, when it started, We have a Mosin Nagant class that we did as well, and that one is a little bit more heavy in the actual history of the firearm. And I found it when I was writing it that it's quite interesting on how the firearm was developed and where it had come from, and how the designers kind of put thought into designing the bolts and the different components of the Mosin. All of the classes have those key components in it, so they have an overview, they have a disassembly, reassembly, they go through the mechanical operations and then servicing and inspection. And then we really utilized the software that we built this stuff with to provide the user with very detailed diagrams so they can see specifically the different parts, explaining what they are. And then that's where we put the thought into the video as well. It's like, you know, as you know, we provide a video of how to break down a certain part. We give written instruction, and then we also give photographic instruction of the same steps. So you have three different ways to look at how to do disassembly, reassembly.
One of the things I really liked about the way you guys made the video was instead of doing a complete breakdown video where if I'm learning how to, you know, take my Glock completely apart, like every pin out of it for the first time, I don't have to keep pausing and going back and pausing and going back. It's just one video per section. So it's like, here's how you're going to disassemble it. Here's how you're going to take the slide apart. Here's how you're going to take the lower apart. Here's how you're going to take the trigger group out. Like, I really liked that it broke it down piece by piece. And then you guys have that nice exploded parts diagram that you can click on each part and it'll tell you what it is. And then you have the opportunity to access this anytime once you've bought it or purchased a course. I can go back and access. So now, for me, I know when I'm going messing around with my Glock and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot how to do this little thing or whatever, I'm just going to go right back to the SDI course I already paid for and just hop in there and look at the exploded parts diagram. I now have a resource to go to for that specific firearm, which we use a lot.
Exactly. And the plan for us going forward is, you know, we have four courses right now, the Mosin, the Glock, the Remington 700 and the 870, but we already have plans for about eight other classes that we'll be releasing within this year. We may go beyond that, just depends on how quickly we can get things through and developed, but our plan is to have a large library of firearms that people can have access to, whether they're a hobbyist or if they're a business and they need access to information on different platforms.
You guys gonna do?
Yeah, we're just getting started.
You guys gonna do any Comblock stuff like those dirty AKs?
Oh my gosh!
We've definitely talked about it. And that's always been something with SDI. Everybody always asks, when are you going to do an AK course?
See?
We don't have anything right now in the pipeline, but that is on our list of things to talk about and develop. So I'm sure at some point we will. But I can't say if we say when that's going to happen yet. So
I think a point that you had made to me when we were discussing this, the new learning center earlier that I want to kind of make here again is that these are not just a quick field strip video. Like, you're going to learn how to do that. You're going to learn about the maintenance of the firearm. This will actually teach you about the entire platform. I mean, I learned things about Glocks having used them for a long, long time now. I learned things about Glocks specifically I didn't know, not just the breakdown and operation of them, but really understanding more about where the pistol came from, why it was developed, how it was developed, you know, procurement processes, development of certain parts, you know, why certain things were removed or added as time went on. So I think that was probably one of the most beneficial parts for me. Whereas when Drew was doing it along with me, it was more about her really understanding like the parts and the takedown, the difference in generations. What were some of the things you really liked, Drew, about the Learning Center program?
I liked how easy it was to navigate. I like how easy the layout was. It wasn't super complicated. Like I was talking to you, I said this is a really easy kind of dummy-proof system that they have going on. I liked how they broke it down, like, through the skeleton, where it's, like, every little piece, this is the name of it, and it had that overview of it, so you can identify all the little pieces. I thought that was really helpful. There's things, I mean, I know how to take down a firearm or a gun, or handgun, I should say, but going in depth and taking the bottom portion apart, I didn't know how to do any of that. So that was my first time actually going in depth and learning that whole information.
And the chart breakdowns were really nice for Drew as well, because especially as she started to get more and more involved on the training side of things, like so many different Glocks come through class. My gosh.
It was nice to know how to tell the difference between all the gens.
Yeah.
And I learned the color coding system.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we looked at when we were first starting this out, when it was still in the concept phase of how do we distribute this in a way that's kind of common sense with the way people navigate and work through stuff, technology today. And that software, it's basically built like, you know, it's open through a browser and you scroll through it just like you would any other website. The ease of use, I think, was an important thing when we decided to go with the software to build the courses.
Yeah, it was super user friendly.
Now, I was going to go back to another question. Oh, so one of the things I think is really important for people who already have experience with either their firearms or they kind of have experience, it's like we get spoiled, honestly. If I really need something done on a Glock, I just take it to one of our armorers and go, hey, man, put this trigger in for me. You know, like, hey dude, I need these sights installed or whatever. Like, hey, help me out here. That's really pretty simple. The one thing that I take for granted is having access to that. And a lot of times when we're learning as instructors, we're doing instructor improvement or instructor development, we'll remind our instructors, like, remember that students don't know what you know. And that's why they're here, right? They're here to learn from us. Don't take for granted what you know. You know, start at the very, very basic level, because what we go, oh, yeah, that's super basic. You know, we don't need to cover that. People will just naturally go, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, get me to the advanced shit, you know? And they're not ready for that yet. But we kind of take for granted how simple or how much knowledge we may have on that more basic level. What I liked about this course was it took me, someone who knows a lot about the Glock system, I've broken them down, I've fixed them, I've replaced all the parts, and Drew, who's next to me doing it the whole time, where I'm going through it, and Drew works with us, she's been training and shooting with us for a long time, she, you know, is around me all the time, so she knows a lot about this world, and she's sitting right next to me, and I'm like, yeah, this is basic, and she's like, wait, I want to read this, you know, like, hold on a second, I want to watch this video, and even with someone who's as interested and involved in the company as she is, there were some things I kind of took for granted that I knew. And then we got to some parts of the program where I was like, oh, shit, I need to learn more about this. And I'm being reminded. In fact, I'm even being forced at this point, really, because I have to take it step by step. I'm being forced to go back through some of these fundamentals. And it's little stuff like that I just forgot. You know, the little things about taking the firearm apart that were just neglected in my brain, and this reminded me about it, and just little stuff that I'm like, oh, man, that would make my life easier if I took the spring out that way, you know, because the way I'm taking it out right now is just stupid because I'm not a certified armor. As much experience as I may have, I'm not a certified armor.
Well, and that's one thing that I found, even, you know, when I wrote the class last spring, I had moved on to other projects, and then I came back to the Glock. It's like, shit, I gotta go back through this again, and just because I hadn't touched it or seen it in a while, you know. So having that ability to quickly access it and refamiliarize yourself with it's one of those things. If you don't use it all the time, you kind of forget it, and it's packed with a lot of information like that. And the 700, you know, I bought my 700 about 10 years ago, and I'm not a deer hunter. I actually grew up duck hunting, so I don't deal with bolt action rifles too often, but I learned a lot when I wrote that course, and luckily we have a really good master gunsmith on staff, and went through it with him, and, you know, as we were doing research and figuring out, you know, the best way to pull apart the bolt, like, there's little tricks of the trade that we add in there. that really get into depth a lot farther than I thought we were going to take the course. So yeah, it's there's a lot of good information packed into a short class, and that's kind of the idea. What we used was what's called micro learning theory to give the user kind of short bursts of information that they can absorb.
That was actually kind of one of the things we were going to give you some feedback on, or I was going to give you some feedback on, is one thing I'd like to see in the programs as you guys move forward and develop them is I'd love to see more of those pro tips, you know, kind of interjected within the program. Like, okay, here's the way to do it. And then at the bottom, pro tip and kind of who it's from would be kind of cool. Like, hey, master level gunsmith, Bob or whatever at SDI. Yeah. Or, you know, so-and-so from Glock says this, or so-and-so from, you know, I don't know, another company that does Glock parts. Like, we use Overwatch Precision here in Phoenix a lot, you know. Talk to them. Hey, give us some pro tips on, you know, how to work this. Hey, pro tip from, you know, whoever at Overwatch Precision, you know, one of the guys over there. And then it would give me a better idea of, like, all right, I'm getting even more value out of this program. Because now I'm not just being taught the fundamental basics, but there's also this really cool pro tip of, you know, what I can use. Like, hey, don't have a punch. Here's some other things that, you know, you can take just like the video shows, you can take the entire Glock apart with, you know, a pin punch or what we call the Glock tool, right? You can take everything apart. So if you have that, like, oh, shit, what if I don't have that? What could I use in a pinch, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've seen some pretty unique things in a pinch and still take down a complete Glock. So little stuff like that, I think, would be, you know, kind of nice, just little pro tips in and out. And one thing that I would have liked to see that I don't think I saw in there, and correct me if we just happen to miss it, and it may be because it requires a very specialized tool, but talking about sight removal and installation.
Yeah, that's just something that we didn't get in with this one. So it is an introductory course, and so that basically insinuates we have plans for more advanced courses.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's stuff that we're already talking about and having in the works as well. So, in fact, we've been talking about another platform, and as we were writing it, we're like, shit, we have four courses here we could put together. So it's like one of those things, you get down the rabbit hole and, like, where do you stop? And,
sure.
You know, how far do you go? Because that's one thing that was surprising to me, is there is so much information. You would think that, you know, like our introductory course would be enough. But even with the Glock, there's a lot more we could do with that one.
Now, something we kind of neglected to tell people, because I'm getting some questions from our listeners right now who are like, wait, what is this? So it's Sonoran Desert Institute's Learning Center. And what's the website for that, Brian?
Yeah, SDI.edu will get you to the main site, but if you go to SDI.edu/learning-center, that'll get you directly to the Learning Center page,
okay.
Or they can go under Current Students, and they'll see the Learning Center in the drop-down.
Okay. So, and that's the link right now to just the four online programs, which are Remington 700, Remington 870, the Mosin, and the Glock. Cool. With more to come.
Yeah, a lot more to come.
Now, what do you see, because you're a shooter, I mean, what do you see as the benefits of people really understanding how their gun works and how to work on it, even if they're definitely not going to be a gunsmith ever?
Well, in all honesty, from, you know, myself, I'm a shooter, I'm not a fixer, and when I was going through this process and learning and writing, I found out so much more information about each of the firearms when I built the courses, that now I feel like I have a better, like you said, I have a better understanding of how it operates. If something does happen to it, or if I need to swap a part out, I know exactly what I need to do. I don't need to pay for anybody to do it. It gives me, I think, just a better confidence when you're out on the range. If something's not operating the way I think it should, that, you know, I can break it down right there and fix it if I have the part, or, you know, just do a little adjustment to it. But yeah, I just think it's a good knowledge to have. You're working with any equipment, whether it's some kind of machinery like a lathe or a mill, you know, you should know how it was built and how it works and functions, and that.
And I think that that's probably a really important factor for a type of client that I don't know if you guys have probably thought about this, but our number one client that loves to know how things work, ladies.
Yeah.
The ladies, when we do a ladies AR-15 class, right? We do a normal defensive carbine level class. It's mostly dudes. There'll be some women. Most of the dudes, what they want to do is they want to get on the range and they want to do. They want to shoot. They want to reload. They want to move. They want to do the things. The ladies, when we do like a ladies AR-15, like 101 class, they want to know, how does it work? How does it come apart? What are all the pieces? What is this thing called? What is that thing called? The majority of guys I know who run through a carbine class could not name all the parts of an AR. They don't care. They couldn't even tell you what everything on the gun necessarily does function-wise or why it is on their gun. They just know they bought that gun. This is the part they hold on to or whatever. And, you know, this is the charging handle they pull. They don't know really anything about how it functions, and they don't really care, honestly. Like that's just kind of what we find the majority of our students. You know, they just want to run it. If it's got a problem, they'll have someone else fix it. The ladies, however, and kind of help me out here, Drew, but the ladies seem to know or want to know way more about what's going on inside the gun. They want to have that confidence of being able to not rely on someone else. They don't want to rely on a dude to fix their stuff. And I know, like, you know, helping Drew as she's grown and developed in her shooting skills and everything, I like to see her be able to do things on her own without me. So, I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think ladies would be interested in these programs?
I don't necessarily think that it's to be an independent person. I think it's to take the scary factor away of what a gun is.
Okay.
I know for my personal, that's how I got more comfortable carrying every single day, you know, so many years ago, was I used to sit there and take apart. At the time, it was that Springfield XD that I had. Mm-hmm. I'd sit there and take it apart, put it back together, take it apart, put it back together, take it apart, put it back together. And it really takes that scary factor away. So because you're now taking this scary piece of tool and it's just now a piece of equipment, like your car. Like you're going to change the oil on your car. Now you just grab it and you're like, okay, this is a tool that I now carry that is now in my toolbox. So for me, that was a big thing for me, was just taking that scariness away. So I think a lot of ladies, if they can better understand how the gun works and operates, it'll be less scary to them. Yes, it'll give them a little bit more independence about it, but I really think it takes the scariness out of it for women. And I could be wrong. That could just be totally my perspective, but.
No, I think that obviously you're the lady in the room, so I'm going to go with your perspective on ladies, but also I've seen the same thing with women students, is they want to know, like, when Drew and I are teaching like the ladies AR-15 classes, what's the most involved the ladies are. When I'm explaining the firing process and how the, you know, how the round is loaded from the magazine, how it's locked onto the, you know, bolt face, how it's, you know, fired, how the gas, you know, travels back down through the gas tube, and how the bolt carrier group works, and how extraction works, and the buffer spring. And it's a really easy thing to demonstrate when you've got a gun pulled apart. They're fascinated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys don't give a shit. They don't care. They do not.
But again,
they do not want my explanation on how that works.
I think it's solely because women want to know how it works, because it's a scary piece of equipment to brand new shooting for women. I mean, this is a whole new world. And so if they can understand how the mechanics behind it, it takes that scariness away. That's why they ask so many questions. Oh, so how does it do this? Oh, okay, that makes more sense to me. So it's not going to fire by itself, because that's one of the biggest questions we always get.
It is.
So this thing's not going to fire by itself, right?
Shoot itself, right?
So for women, they have to understand how it works to know that it's a safe piece of equipment and it's now a tool.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we actually have in the safety section of each of the platform courses, is we break down and explain how the safety features work in it. So, like with the Glock, you have the three safety features, and we break down and explain how each one of those things functions. And I think that kind of ties into what you're saying as well.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, from a learning tool perspective, I mean, it's the kind of thing that if you've got kids, especially older kids. Certainly if you've got, you know, a partner like Drew and I, or you've got someone who's interested in shooting in your life, like this is a really great program for them to go through because it's really broken down and you can cruise through it, right? If you're like, this doesn't apply to me. I get this or whatever. You can cruise through it. It's easy, but you've still got the program really broken down easily for the people who need a little bit more information or want a little bit more information. And my challenge would be to everyone to freaking take one of these programs and not cruise through it. Don't assume that you know, because I was learning things along the way that some of it's just stuff I didn't know about the way the Glock works. Some of it's just kind of stuff I'd forgotten. And some of it was completely new information, entirely like, holy shit, I didn't know that at all. So I think that, again, people get, especially guys, get super like, I'm fine with it. I just understand how the thing works, really go through the program and get more knowledge. And right now is a great time to do this kind of stuff because you got crazy ammo crisis going on.
Yeah.
So you want to spend more time with your gun? Take it apart completely. Take your Glock. Take this class. It's $70, man. Right now, that's like not even 100 rounds of ammunition. You know what I mean? Like, that's take your Glock. Take it completely apart on your kitchen table. Then put it completely back together. Learn how to function test it, and then go out and shoot it. I know when I took my very first armorer's class, which was an AR-15 armorer's class, it was a two-day program, and you came with a rifle that you completely pulled it apart. I mean, we took the gas tubes out. We took everything apart, and we did, you know, go gauges. We totally checked everything. Some parts got replaced on different people's guns, and it was really cool to see, like, oh, wow, now I actually know, like, what wear cycles are for this, and I can really actually maintain my firearm. And then to put it all back together from literally a pile of parts, and then we went out to the range on the end of day two and, you know, ran some exercises with your gun, and you're like, holy shit, dude, this thing started as a little tiny pile of parts, and I built it, and now it's working perfectly.
Yeah.
I think that's the level of confidence.
In that too.
Oh yeah. And even for the guys who are listening to, you know, when Drew's talking about the ladies, well, the ladies want to see it, you know, totally broken down. So if they're confident, and guys are like, well, I don't need that kind of confidence. The kind of confidence you do need is the level of confidence you have in your gun to know you can make it work. You know, like I've done enough with guns armor wise and fixing them over the years that most of the time, if a student has a problem with a gun on the range, we can get it up and running pretty quickly. Not all the time. Sometimes stuff is beyond our knowledge or our tools, but a lot of times we can get it back up and running. And usually it's a pretty simple fix. Well, what if that's just your gun and you're on the range and you don't have access to somebody who can help you?
Yep.
Do you have that knowledge? I mean, that's a big part of this.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we offer at the end of the courses as well, is we have an assessment. It's usually about 25 questions, just kind of run the student through the information from the course and just see how much they retain. And if they get a passing score of 80% or more, they can print out a certificate from SDI. It's just a certificate of completion. But it's something that we stand behind, you know, to back up that they've completed the course and have a solid understanding of the content we've provided.
And right now you've got, you know, the benefit of it being online, because right now you've got different states that aren't as open as other states. I mean, you still have some states that are pretty locked down and people are having a hard time getting out and doing things. Like, what a great opportunity to do an on. We're all tired of Zoom meetings. We're all tired of that shit. And so now you can do something online that's actually fun and interesting. You can follow along with your own firearm if you have one, or if you're just learning about the system, obviously you won't be able to, but you take your own firearm, you can sit there, take it apart, learn about the gun. You know, I'm excited to take the Remington 700 one, because that's a platform I've been using literally almost my entire life. And I know the real basic functions of it, but I don't really know how to take the thing apart. I don't know how to take the bolt apart. I don't know all the differences, because there are such a variety of 700s. Like, I'd like to know more about the history of that firearm, because it's got a pretty colorful history. And so I'm excited to jump on that one, because that's something that really interests me. And now I'll have even more confidence once I complete it with my 700 of, like, oh, if something goes wrong, at least even if I can't fix it in the field, I'm at least going to know.
Right.
So I can go to a Smith or order my own parts. You know, what if we get to a point where Smiths aren't as available or they're too backlogged? I mean, God, right now you go to some Smiths and they're months behind.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of the standard, right? There's not enough gunsmiths around. So you are kind of, in a lot of ways, relying upon yourself to take care of things unless you have time to wait.
So. Yeah. So one of our listeners just wrote in. He said, the gas rings on my 16-inch match gun broke off and got lost about 2 years ago. Am I going to die in the streets? No, you're not going to die in the streets when you break unnecessary items off of your gun, though. Just so people understand the joke that's being told here, an AR-15 bolt has three gas rings, and it is a redundant system to a redundant system. So, yeah, you can actually survive with one gas ring, no problem. And no, you don't have to line the little gaps up on the gas rings like we were taught in basic training so many years ago, because it doesn't matter. And you remember that, Brian? You remember having to line the gas ring? The gas ring slots?
Yeah.
How stupid that was? First of all, when the gas rings compress, when the bolt is compressed inside the bolt carrier group, those gas rings compress anyway and the gap disappears. And second of all, those things were bouncing around in there anyway. So pretty much as soon as you lock the bolt back into place, the gas rings move, but they didn't tell us that back then.
No, not back then.
So, kind of give me your target market. I mean, what were you guys really trying to hit with the Learning Center? And especially, like, our listeners, man, we have such a variety of listeners. We have people that are avid gun people. We have people who carries a lifestyle. We have people who are, you know, active duty. We have people, you know, lots of veterans. We've got lots of law enforcement listening to the show. Like, what's your real target market? To say that there's no one out there who couldn't benefit from these Learning Center courses, because I think everybody could, but what's really your guys' target market? What are we trying to do?
Well, the main thing is we wanted to be able to provide courses that would be accessible to anybody. And, you know, the degree program, as good as it is, it's sometimes it's financially out of reach for people, and sometimes it's time that they just can't take the time to do it. These courses are all, you know, like you said, you can get through them pretty quick, but you can take your time through them. So when we were looking at who we wanted it to be anybody that uses the firearm, because it's
for the new person. Oh, you're breaking up, Brian.
Experience.
Hold on, you broke up on that last bit.
It's kind of a sweet spot, you know, it's... The courses that we have now are good for a new person in the gun world and people that have experience. And then going forward, and, you know, as we're launching these future courses, we're going to get more advanced courses in there. We're going to, this isn't something that we have for sure yet, but we've talked about doing like preservation courses for. Customization courses on different platforms as well.
Yeah.
So we wanted to start out with the Glock, the Remington 700 and 870, because those are very common firearms. The ones that we have coming up are going to be some more of the more common firearms, but eventually we'll probably get into the more rare platforms
No, you're breaking up, Brian.
Sorry, I'm trying to find a sweet spot in the house.
That's right. You're perfect right now. Just stand right there on one foot.
Don't move.
All right. That's one thing I found when I was writing the courses. There is not a lot of readily accessible resources to find information. Luckily, you know, like I said, we have our master gunsmith. So I've, you know, the stuff that I found, and I talked to him and interviewed him about the different material that should go into it and have him verify it. But accessibility of information about different firearms is just not out there. So I think that, circling back to like the press secretary, let me circle back. we want it to be accessible to anybody, and our target was just gun enthusiasts in general. If a law enforcement person could go through the program, I think that would be outstanding. I think it would give them some really good information. But I think if you own the platform, even if you don't own the firearm, I think if you're just interested in finding out about it, let's say you wanted to make a purchase, you wanted to buy a Glock, but you didn't really know anything about it, that could possibly be a way for you to really kind of see how it works to see if it's something you're wanting to purchase.
Well, you mentioned, you know, future courses. That's something else I'd like to see is, you know, like service life of certain parts, right? Like how long is this spring good for? How long is your typical, you know, factory Glock barrel good for? you know, how when am I supposed to replace certain parts? Because now I have this resource that you've given me. This shows me how to literally replace every single part in the gun. Well, now when should I be doing that? I think that's a very important part, even if it's in a more advanced course or whatever, because the resource that most people have right now is they go online to search and it's a forum somewhere or some supposed expert who's, you know, well, he's got 10,000 posts and he's been a member for 8 years and people sure seem to like him here, but that doesn't necessarily mean because I can't meet the guy or necessarily see his credentials or his abilities. He literally might just be a master regurgitator and just be propagating the same shit that I've been reading everywhere else, where if I've got a course from the Learning Center that's backed up by a well-known, well-proven, long-standing organization like Sonoran Desert Institute, I've got the capability now to go, yeah, dude, I'm trusting what you guys are putting out there. So if you tell me the service life of a barrel from a Glock, I'm just making this up, but it's 30,000 rounds, then I'm replacing my barrel at 30,000 rounds. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to trust that SDI has the right information.
And that's kind of what I was kind of saying before is like you start going down rabbit holes. And when we were looking at these courses and when we were first writing the outlines for them, that was some of the stuff that we talked about, like, you know, specific parts, wear and tear. And then like I said, we kind of cut it to, well, let's just make this an introductory course. And those are conversations we're having.
What was that last part you broke up again?
I just said that I think that, you know, you were kind of right on the spot. I think that's something really important for people to learn about.
Yeah, and even if it was like an add-on, like I look at it from a customer's perspective and go, if it was an add-on class for, you know, an extra cost or whatever, but it's like, hey, complete the introductory course, and once we know you've completed it, then you can add on this other course, and it's not going to be even nearly as in-depth. It might just be literally a checklist of like, hey, you want the add-on bit for X number of dollars? It's going to be, you know, sight replacement. You want this other add-on? It's going to be, you know, service life and wear and tear. You want this add-on? It's going to be, you know, recommended accessories and upgrades from, you know, SDI. You want this add-on? It's going to be, you know, a list of all of our partner companies that provide these kinds of services and or add-ons. You know, that way I can kind of, once I've taken the introductory course, maybe be able to kind of, you know, a la carte pick what I want or lump all that into one more advanced class, and I'd probably just take that. I mean, I think where people would really find the benefit of this is just being a sponge for knowledge and wanting to know about the system. Like, look, man, I strap this thing onto my side every single day.
Yeah.
I should know
how the ins and outs are.
Yeah, I should know everything about it.
Just, you know, common sense, even when it comes to a vehicle, knowing your how to check your tires, knowing when to take your oil to get it changed. You know, you're doing maintenance on a tool that you use or carry every single day.
And just like I rely on my vehicle to protect my life and get me places.
With kids.
Yeah, especially when I'm, you know, talking about, hey, this is not just protecting me, but proper maintenance on my vehicle is also protecting my life and my family. The gun is doing the same thing. And so I need to know about it. I need to understand it, you know, and it's, I like the way that it's set out where it's like even the firearm safety rules in the beginning, it's still a good reminder to people, like, no one is above these rules. We're going to teach you how to break the gun down, but before we do that, we're going to remind you there's a safety element involved here.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I really like the way it was broken down in a very kind of kindergarten way, because it allowed me to skip around if I needed to go, you know, check answers. Like Drew said, honestly, man, like one of my favorite ones was the chart for all the different models and the calibers.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
We were sitting there and it was a great chart because I don't know every single one of them. I know a couple, but I don't know every single one of them. So I even said, oh, I can reference this later and learn more about just remembering all the different ones because there's so many variations. Mm. And it's like crazy. And then what the variations are and the reasons for it. That's insane. You guys did a good job on that part.
Yeah. The chart was eye-opening for me when I was actually building it, too, because I'm, you know, I know Glock 19, and that's about it, you know. And when I started seeing, like, oh, there's all these other ones. And then just the different sizes, that chart as well was kind of eye-opening.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was. It's like, it was great, especially for someone who may be really interested, and it sometimes can be harder to find online, and now you have something that's right there.
Yeah.
Now, one more time before we let you go here, and that is sdi.edu/learning-center, or they can just go to sdi.edu and click on the current student and then Learning Center, right?
Yes, that's it.
And then SDI is also, you guys are on Facebook, you guys are on Instagram.
Yep. And then we also have a Instagram Learning Center account.
Okay.
So that one's SDI_LC. So we're just getting that one started, and that'll be a good spot for finding out any new news or information.
So anything else you guys have to kind of talk about with the Learning Center? I mean, you guys got the four programs right now. You got more introductory stuff coming up soon to be, you know, some advanced programs. Anything else that you've got?
Yeah, we've got one other larger class that we're actually working on that will be kind of targeted towards the business side of firearms. Can't really say too much about it yet. We're working on some licensing, but that one, it's a big course. It will cover a lot of stuff that I think businesses will be very interested in the future.
Very cool. Right on, man. Well, Brian, thank you for, thanks for staying in touch, man. And thanks for telling me about the Learning Center. We really enjoyed going through the Glock program, and we'll definitely be referencing back to it because there was some really good info in there. And thanks for being willing to come on the show and talk with us about the new Learning Center through SDI and kind of give us the ins and outs of why you guys built it.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, man. And it's good talking to you as always. And if we can do this again sometime, that'd be great.
Absolutely, man. Keep me posted, when the new classes are ready because I'm ready for them.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Take care, Brian.
All right. See ya.
All right. Apologies to Wes if you're listening. I'm sorry. I'm retarded, and I couldn't figure out how to three-way call without hanging up on Brian. So if you're listening, Brian did a great job, and we really, really, really appreciate what he did. And I'm sorry, Wes, that I lack the technological ability to make a three-way call, but that is my curse.
Should have got an iPhone.
One of our listeners chimed in and said, Sonoran Desert Institute is a reputable school here in Arizona that offers gunsmithing programs online. You actually build a rifle as part of the program, and you can use the VA education benefits to pay for it. And, so for sure. Is there an SDI reloading course available? I'm not sure, actually. I'm not 100%, but I'm sure it's listed on their website, Ryan, if you want to jump on there. Which is interesting you should ask, because that's another class people have really asked, like, hey, when are you guys going to put on a reloading class? I'm like, dude, I'm not. I'm definitely not the teacher for that. I fucking hate reloading, so that's not my thing. And we've had a couple of our other instructors who are really, really experienced, but the problem is, anecdotally experienced, right? I mean, like when it comes to gunfighting and medicine and stuff like that, we can really pool our experience. But when it comes to reloading, most of our guys are like, yeah, I've reloaded some stuff. It's something we've talked about. Like, we want a reloading class is what I'm meaning to say there. Like, we want to take one. We want to go to one. And I haven't really found one yet, but I also didn't look at SDI. So there might be one that is available, Ryan. You should definitely check that out, sdi.edu. And see what they offer, because they're great. They're right here in Scottsdale, Arizona, and then obviously all kinds of online stuff like the Learning Center that we just talked about. And maybe they'll do an online class. Email them, Ryan, if they don't do an online version of that, and tell them to do an online version of the Learning Center. And there you go. And if you want Brian's direct email address, just shoot me over an email, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll make sure that we get you over to Brian so you can connect with him and let him know that there's people out there wanting certain types of programs. Because I can tell you, from an educational standpoint, that's what drives curriculum and development, is when people want information you already have, and you just didn't know that people wanted it. So,
yeah.
You know, that's like the majority of our programs, honestly, with independence training. People don't always know that, but it's like I started teaching the stuff that we thought was really important. Defensive handgun, IFAC Lifesaver, the MAST program that we teach, three still of our most popular programs were our three original programs. And I, at that time in my life, I didn't know people were going to care about other stuff. You know, I'm like, people don't probably really care to learn all this knowledge that we have. I didn't think people cared. And then carbine was born, and then shotgun was born, and then our rifle program began, and then everything just kind of splintered onto other concepts as I found out people actually did want the knowledge that we had. You know, people did want to know how to move through a structure. I didn't know people cared about that shit. They did want to use, you know, learn how to do low light, no light stuff. I didn't know they cared. Speaking of low light, no light, this coming weekend, low light, no light, carbine and handgun, and our AK-47 focus class, which Drew is super excited for.
I am.
The focus class is going to be Sunday. Low light, no light, carbine is also Sunday night. Low light, no light, handgun is Saturday night, and stop the bleed is Saturday morning. So we've got a full weekend of training coming up. The low light, no light classes will be the last low light, no light classes until fall of 2021.
Jax can stay in brighter later now.
Yeah, the problem with them is just a timing management of the sun. Now, we'll still teach
the schoolhouse ones.
Yeah, we'll still teach the low light, no light arm movement and structures and the low light, no light IFAC courses.
Yeah.
Here. And we may do we're also doing the new mucking classes, the managing unknown contact class that we're doing with Cecil Birch from Media Action Combatives. We're gonna do a mucking in low light course that's up on the schedule as well. So we'll still be doing low light, no light courses, but they're gonna be non-live fire stuff.
And for everybody,
if you want live fire, this weekend's your last chance to get it for a while.
Everybody who doesn't know, the arm structure low light, no light is probably one of the best, most useful skills that you can have. Just based off knowing how to use a flashlight in your own house. Because sometimes you're not always going to have a gun. It could just be your power's out. Mm. And it teaches you how to illuminate a room versus, you know, checking corners and everything else. That, I think, should be one of your first classes that you take. I mean, it's an awesome program. I took it. I was like, holy crap, this is so much information. You can check spaces without even entering a room by using a light, your flashlight in your hand. You can check unknown spaces. It's awesome.
Some people just don't know those, you know, those techniques. And if you do know them, awesome. But if you don't, you know, there's a lot of great information we've got. So make sure you guys are checking out our programs. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming up. We have our 2-day survival course, emergency survival course that we're teaching alongside divergence training at a press kit run by Carissa and Daryl, who have both been on the show before. They are going to be teaching this 2-day class with us up in the press kit area, March 27, 28. So we're really looking forward to that program coming up the end of this month. All kinds of cool stuff coming up for the rest of the year. So we're pretty excited about all of that. If you're interested in Independence Day Action Rifle Match, it will be in Phoenix this year. Back in Phoenix, we had Flagstaff last year. We'll probably be back in Phoenix this year. We may last minute move to Flagstaff, but I don't know. I think we'll probably stay in Phoenix. And we are going to be – it's already up. I was just saying we're going to be announcing it, but we already posted it. So if you want to make sure you get a slot for IDARM this year, it's like 15 or 16 years now running, make sure you jump onto the online store through trainingaz.com and get your space. All right, remember you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email info@trainingaz.com. You know, we talk about this, and I don't always tell people, but people do contact us about this. I mean, because of what we said on the show, like we say every week, you know, a few weeks ago, we're now headed to South Carolina. So for all of our listeners over in that neck of the woods, we'll be headed over there in I think it's April, late April. We'll be posting more information about that, of course, up on our website. But it really is easy to host us. It's really not difficult. It doesn't require very much. We talked about it last week on the show when Mitch was in here and we were talking at the end. He's like, well, what does it take? And I kind of explained it. It's pretty simple. Doesn't take much, right? Mostly we just kind of need a point of contact in an area. Is primarily it. What we need to actually do a shooting or medical class is insanely minimal. We do not need very advanced structures or ranges. Make sure you follow us on Facebook as the Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. And please follow SDI, Sonora Desert Institute, and SDI_LC on Instagram so that you guys can learn more about the Learning Center. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows on the network. Next week, we're going to be talking about preparing your mind for a real-world emergency. Prepping your mind instead of just always trying to prep your body. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.